Mostly just to finish off, or I should say, continue from the end of Yud Amud Beis to get us onto Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. So we left off this morning, Shir, seven lines up from the bottom, right after the period. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sheva Be'ilos Baal Osa Rasha Ba'osa Shah. So remember again, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok said a dramatic statement that the conclusion of the statement is that an aveir lishma is as great as a mitzvah shalo lishma. And the Uriah that the Gemara brings from it is from Yael, who went ahead and engaged in relations with Sisera, even though she was a married woman, for the express purpose of weakening him, in order that Devorah and Barak should be able to catch up and ultimately captured. Of course, again, once he falls asleep, so she, Yael herself, takes his life in an effort to bring his reign of tyranny to an end. So the Gemara dashes over here that in fact Sisera had relations with Yael seven times. Shene'emar, Bein Ragleha Kara Nafal Shachav. So Rashi points out over here, if you look at Rashi on the left hand side, Bein Ragleha Kara Nafal Ba'asher Kara Sham Nafal Hari Shiva. So the idea is over here, the Gemara expresses that there are seven different verbs that are used. So the Gemara says that this indicates to us that he had relations with her seven times. But didn't Yael, how can you say this is an aveir lishma? Did she not derive pleasure from the sin? Did she not derive pleasure from the relations with Sisera? Actually, a very profound statement. Rashbi Rav Shimon Ben Yochai says that even the good of the wicked is considered to be negative by the righteous, meaning that any kind of benefit that the righteous achieve from the wicked is always overshadowed by the negativity of the interaction. So the idea over here is that Yael, even though there might have been some level of physical pleasure from the act of relations, that physical pleasure was eclipsed by her interaction or having to have an interaction with the Rasha, which if you think about it is an incredible yisod, an incredible musr, just in general in terms of the cost-benefit analysis from Chet. The Gemara Maseches Sota brings down the idea that Kol HaShamar Chosav Ba'olam Hazeh, that whoever evaluates his derech, his ways in this world, Zocheh Rabbi Yeshuas Hashal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was able to see the salvation of God. The idea is that life is all a cost-benefit analysis. Sometimes we do certain things because we think we're going to benefit from it. We think that there's a payoff. We think that there's something beneficial. But at the end of the day, when we really look deep down, we recognize that we lose a lot more than what we gain through the negative interactions. Even if there's some level of benefit from a chaita, from some negative behavior, the collateral damage always outweighs whatever the benefit may be. Amrav Yehuda Marav, Le'olam Yasok Adam Batar B'mitzos, Afilu Shalo Lishma. Person shall learn Torah, do mitzos, even Shalo Lishma. Why? Shemitok Shalo Lishma Balishma. Because ultimately, again, even if a person begins lo lishma, not for the right intentions, a person will come to do things for the right intentions. Now, Gemara ends off, where do we know this from? Shebistchar membeis karban shehikrim Balak arasha, because of the 42 offerings that Balak, the king of Moab, offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yotzasam zochav yotzam imen arus. He has a very famous descendant, a righteous woman by the name of Rus. The Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Rus, Bas Bino Shel Eglon, Ben Bino Shel Balak Melech Moav. So amazingly enough, Balak, who was the king of, who hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people, Balak, the king of Moab, hires Bilam to curse the Jewish people, yet again in his effort to turn the God of Israel against the Jews, he himself offers up karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we would call a mitzvah shalo lishma, certainly a mitzvah not for the right intention, yet nevertheless, he engaged in some type of dynamic spiritual activity, service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as a result, he is rewarded. Mitok shalo lishma, balishma. His end reward, of course, is Rus, is a great-great-granddaughter of Rus, who herself becomes the mother of the Davidic line, ultimately the mother of Mashiach. So it's amazing to think that Mashiach, Messianic redemption, traces its roots all the way back to the 42 karbanos offered up by Balak. Why did Balak offer up those karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Not in an effort to serve God, but really, it wasn't an effort to serve God, but to serve God in order to turn God against us. So the very karbanos that were offered in order to turn HaKadosh Baruch Hu against Klal Yisrael, in fact, become the seeds ultimately for messianic redemption. An incredible, incredible Musar. Just this idea of Shelo Lishma, Bo Lishma is also an incredible Musar. Because what Chazal were trying to teach us is as follows. We all aspire for perfection of intent. We certainly all want to not just do the right things, but want to do the right things for the right purposes. The problem is that sometimes perfection of intent is very difficult to come by and often very elusive. If a person waits to have the right machshavas, the right kavanas before they act, so a person could be waiting a very long time before they engage in dynamic activity. Therefore, Chazal say, Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma. Good people are not born or from good thoughts, but rather, again, good people are created through good deeds. Act in the right way, and the machshavas are sure to come. The kavanas are sure to come. In fact, this is what the Sefer Achinuch means when it says, "Acharei ha'pa'ulos nimshachos halevavos." That sometimes, again, it's through actions that we shape the way we feel. We often think that it's the way we feel that shape our actions. Chazal teach us it's not true. Act in a good way, and the machshavas, the thoughts, the kavanas, will come afterwards as well. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, from where do we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and he doesn't hold back schar from anything? In other words, that for any good deed, big or small, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always rewards for it. Where do we see that? So the Gemara says, Mehacha, Dilu Bechira Dekarye Moav, Amar Li Rachmana Lemo, Sha'al Tatzer Es Moav Val Tiskarban. So remember again, the older daughter of Lot calls her son Moav. Moav obviously is a name that explicitly makes reference to the act of incest. Moav is Me'av, from my father. So when it comes to Moav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Al Tatzer Es Moav Al Tiskarbam, so don't go ahead and, Al Tatzer Es Moav Al Tiskarbam means Milchama, do not go to war against Moav. Milchama Hu Dolo, top of Yud Aleph, Milchama Hu Dolo, Hatso Ureit Sa'arinu. So ultimately, again, the Gemara says, so with Moab, the restriction is, we can't go to war against Moab. There is no prohibition against, I guess what we would call, aggression with Moab. No war, but there could be aggression. Ve'ilu tzi'ira dekarye ben ami. But amazingly enough, but the younger daughter tries to be a bit more tsanua with her indiscretion, although again, it wasn't really an indiscretion, it was an aveira lishma. She did what she did l'shem shamayim, but she wanted to obscure the fact that her son was a product of incest. So instead she calls him Amon, right? Ben Ami, which of course is son of my nation, which of course is also a reference to the fact that her father fathered the child, but it's a bit more discreet. And as a result, the Torah says, Amar Lei Al Titzuram Va'al Tiskarbam Klal Afilu Tzurelo. When it comes to Amon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't start up with them at all. Don't do anything to them. Leave them alone. Why does Amon have this extra divine protection more than Moab has? Because of the tznius, because of the modesty, ultimately, of the younger daughter over the older daughter. And as such, Chazal, so you see from here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every act of growth and every act of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meaningful in some way. Even the fact that the younger daughter tried to be just a bit more discreet than her older sister, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognized that and ultimately, again, provides additional protection for her children. Tanara, so the Gemara, let's do one last piece. A person should always run to do a mitzvah. Where do we see this from? Because of the one night, the older daughter of Lot takes the initiative before her younger sister. Because of the one night initiative, the fact that she acted one night earlier, the older daughter acted one night earlier than the younger daughter, she has offspring who become monarchical material for Klal. So four generations, then the younger daughter. Where does that come from? So if you look at Rashi, it's Rashi on the first of the short lines on the right side. The Kidmasa Arba Doros B'Yisrael, Oved Yishai David Shlomo, Vilutziira Lohava B'Yisrael Ad Rechavam Ben Shlomo, Dahavile Mina'ama Ha'amonis. Because remember again, the older daughter, who Rus comes from, is ultimately again Oved Yishai David, excuse me, I'm sorry, the older daughter, has her offspring is Obed Yishai David and Shlomo. Now, the younger daughter, ultimately, again, she produces offspring who by the name of Naama Ha'amonis. And Naama is the mother, was the one of the wives of Shlomo, who gave birth to Rechavam. Rechavam becomes the king, ultimately, of Malchus Yehuda. Unfortunately, the kingdom is split during his days, after the death of Shlomo. So the older daughter, again, has monarchy, achieves monarchy, or I should say, has offspring who gets to the level of monarchy earlier than the younger daughter. And the Gemara attributes that to the fact that the older daughter took initiative for a quote-unquote mitzvah earlier than the younger daughter. So it's interesting to note how we almost have like this two different themes over here. On one hand, Chazal are clearly faulting the older daughter for a greater degree of brazenness, naming her child Moav, which doesn't even try to obscure the fact that the child was a result of incest, yet Chazal lauding the fact that she went ahead and took initiative to ultimately, again, become pregnant by her father in an effort to what she perceived perpetuate humanity. And as a result, again, she becomes the mother of Jewish monarchy sooner than her younger sister. And the truth is, again, there are lessons to be learned from both. The idea of being sanua, being modest in our actions, of course, is understood. But this idea of zrizos, that the older daughter saw, well, she thought she knew what had to be done, and as such, she took action. Quick, decisive action, did not wait. The younger sister followed suit, but Chazal see the quickness, the decisiveness of the older daughter's action as a midah to be emulated. All right, so we will stop over here, and Emirat Hashem will continue on Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph tomorrow. Wishing everyone a wonderful day.